All right. It is Medical Weight Loss Day. And before we get started, I am going to just tell everyone I am drinking a can of regret right now. This is caffeine. I have a lot of recordings to get done and a leg day to do today. And so I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hit that Celsius so that I could make sure I get everything I need to get done today. Woo! But I also call it my can of regret. This happens to be peach vibe. I love that. I don't know if y'all remember, but when we were kids, there was a drink called peach knee high. It was a soda. I don't even know if they had them in the north. It was kind of a southern thing, but I loved peach knee high. Like peach knee high with a bag of fucking chips was a good damn time when I was a kid. When we would go to the my papa always called it the little store. I could drink them by the 2 liter. I never see peach knee high anymore. I'm sure it's around somewhere, but the Celsius tastes a lot. It tastes enough like it for me to be like, here we are, peach knee high. All right. Katie wants to get coached. So if you want to get coached, you need to raise the hand. I want to make sure that we have plenty of people who want to get coached today. This is all medical weight loss. So GLP-1, surgery. You're on a special diet. You're a diabetic. Anything like that flies on this call. All right, Katie, let me see if I can get you up here. Vote to panelists and see if it's doing its thing. Sometimes Zoom acts like a shithead. All right, Katie's declining. So Katie must not want to get coached. She has her hand raised, though. Just want to say, Katie, got your hand raised. We also have no one else with their hand raised. So if nobody needs help, we just get out of here. Because these are coaching calls. These are not, Corinne comes with like 4,000 things to talk calls. What does your necklace say, Corinne? Oh shit, I don't even know. Let's see. I put it on months ago because I needed something for the pool. I like to wear something around my neck with my bikini. Don't ask me why. I always feel like it makes my titties look better. So I think it says, oh yeah, thank you, Nancy. I think it says not sorry. All right, Renee. Promote you. Oh, I'm new to GLP-1. That's fine. You can be new. You can be old to it. Be in the middle, the end, off, on. Everything flows around here. I gotta clean these glasses though, or I'm not gonna be able to talk or see y'all. All right. What we coaching on? Glad you raised
Hi,
your
nice to meet you. I'm from Tacoma, Washington area. My name is Renee.
Yeah.
And basically, I've needed to lose about 50, 60 pounds. I have fatty liver, and I think it's from I have bipolar, so I take Rexulti. It's a medication that I think it messes with my ability to like have hunger signals. I get really hungry and I get anxiety, really bad anxiety, and so I have to eat till I'm full. So I guess two
You
things.
have
One,
to. Let me ask this. You said like it's a requirement on the drug. I just need to be super clear because you said I get really hungry and anxiety and I have to eat till full. Is that like medically you have to eat till full or like no, that's the only way it like calms my anxiety.
it's the only way that calms the anxiety, and sometimes
So
even
you don't
that doesn't
have to.
work.
So you don't
Well,
have to.
I don't think so. Well, I think I do because there's no other way. Like I get so hungry and it leads to like manic symptoms if I don't like get that food in my system.
Let me ask you this. If do you have children by chance?
No, I don't. Just me and my husband.
Do you or your husband's a good example. If you were in an emergency room and he was dying and you were having your anxiety and it was the last chance you got to talk to him, would you say like, I'm sorry, I have to skip out on the last chance because I have to eat to full because there's no other way to handle my anxiety right now?
No, I wouldn't do that. I would talk to my husband,
So
you
you
know.
wouldn't have like the only reason why I always love to give like exaggerated examples is because in your mind, there's only one way to handle this. And this is what I want to offer you. There's a lot of ways to handle it. You're just very used to eating through it.
Yeah.
And if you try other ways, they won't be as fast. They won't be as like soothing in the moment. They won't take it down from a 10 to a 1 in a heartbeat. But there's lots of things that do actually take anxiety down in the world. You're just not used to trying them. You haven't given them enough shots yet to see what happens. You have a lot of thoughts about them not working. There's like a lot of stuff going on, but I just want you to see a big way for you to make some change for you is just to open your brain up to food isn't the only option. It's just the only one right now I've found that works fast enough for me. Because if your husband was dying, you'd be like, well, I would sit there anxious as shit because I'm not missing out on the last chance to talk to him. And that's why I like to use those exaggerated examples, because it makes us like suddenly realize like, oh, the way I think about it is the way I think about it. It feels true, but that doesn't mean it's 100% true. Okay, so now that we cleared that up, because I just wanted to make sure that this wasn't like a resulty or whatever. I forget the name. What did you say it was? I don't want to say it wrong.
Rick Salty.
Rexulti. Yeah, I knew it. I know the commercials, so I knew I was saying it wrong. I see them all the time on the TV. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't a medical reason why you needed to eat to a certain amount while you're on it, because some medications do require you to eat certain ways in order to take them. Okay, so what do you want help with?
Well, I mean, I think that's what I've realized. I've been in no BS maybe 3 months now that I can't stop eating till full. And that's been the issue. So, but I'll have to work on that thought work because I feel like I have pretty happy, positive thoughts about the situation. And then the anxiety gets so high, I have to do something. But I'm on a GLP-1 and so on tirzepatide. And so it's kind of made me feel super hungry and full at the same time. It's super weird. And so it's like I'm trying to manage my symptoms. And I
Why do you
saw,
think that's weird?
well, because it's like if I'm really hungry, I shouldn't feel super full. It just doesn't seem to make sense
But
to me.
do you think you're physically hungry or do you think you're anxiously hungry?
I think it's anxiously hungry because I've gained weight. So it's not like my body's starving.
So we know you're not hungry. So I think that's one of the things that you want to clear up in your mind. Just like a big part of being able to lose weight is understanding how to properly diagnose what's happening. And we all, this is why you need coaching. This is why everybody needs coaching, because we diagnose things the way that we think it's happening. And then when you come to me and I'm looking at things in from a, like, I just have different perspective. I don't have like your fears. I don't have your anxieties and stuff. So when I look at it, I'm like, oh, I'm seeing what's actually happening. And you're seeing what you think is happening. So that's why we asked. I don't think it's weird at all. If you're actually not, your body's not needing full or not needing to eat, of course your body feels full. But if your anxiety is hungry and it's the only way you ever take it down, that's why both are happening at the same time. It's like, your body's saying, hey, I don't need anything. And your anxiety is saying, hey, she doesn't do anything else for us. We're gonna have to just eat. Like, she only gives us one way to solve anxiety. She's never taught me another way. It's kind of like if you don't teach a baby to, I know you don't have kids. You have a dog? Okay. I all of my childless people always have a fur baby.
I
Well, and like my best friend is her and her husband, they never had kids. They got cats. They used to have a dog and the dog passed away. They just decided to stick with cats. They travel a lot. That's the only reason why. So if you never taught your dog to go outside to go to the bathroom, where would the dog be going to the bathroom?
In the house.
Exactly. So if we don't teach our anxiety other ways to be managed and dealt with and coped with, what is your anxiety always going to do?
Yeah,
Shit on your
it's
diet.
yeah, and that's the thing holding me back. I've done good with not snacking, not eating at night. Like I have really good habits, I realize. Like I don't really binge eat. Like I just, that eating till I'm full is like the thing that keeps me feeling good for 3 or 4 hours, and so.
If you like, why do you think you get anxious if you're not full? Like, what to you, what is the difference between enough and full?
Well, I think enough. I'm hungry within an hour, maybe 2 hours.
That's not enough. That's good to know.
Okay.
So, did you listen to the course
I did, yes. And I thought,
once?
yeah.
Okay.
That's
So,
enough, right?
no, never enough. I always tell everybody it's never enough. Like, y'all got to listen to it a lot because you have to think about, like, in the course, there's a lot of things in there. And it's not that it's like tons and tons of information. It's just like I am basically telling you a completely new way of thinking on a lot of, like, this is how we're going to eat, and this is how we're going to take care of ourselves, and this is how we're going to plan, and here's all the reasons why, and here's how your brain works, and blah, blah. There's no human possible way that somebody listens to the course once and gets the, like, little things, like where I said enough should carry you about 4 hours.
Okay.
So, like, what you're doing and what's probably causing the anxiety is you're eating to what we call just enough to knock off hunger, not enough to, like, sustain you. And so when we are eating just enough to knock off hunger, and then if we've have like past diet trauma or did you ever do diets in the past where
I didn't
you?
really much, so I kind of have been okay with my weight. I mean, I'm 232, but I've never worried about it except with the fatty liver. So no, not a ton really. I've kind of kept
Okay.
myself protected from
Okay, that's good.
yo-yoing.
So, but did you ever have a period in your life where you felt like you weren't going to get enough food?
Yeah, when I've because I have tried some diets, it's true. Yeah, calorie restriction, like with Weight Watchers. Oh yeah, now that I think
Okay.
about it.
So what happens very often is that, especially for somebody who has anxiety, you have to think about anxiety is the mechanism that's in every single person that kicks in when you feel danger. That's anxiety always comes up when there's danger around. Now, when we were in primitive days, our anxiety didn't come up unless, like, a puma was staring at us, or, you know, there was literally no food for, you know, they go out onto the, I don't even know what that's called, not the horizon, but the plains, let's say the plains, and they look around and it's scorched earth. It's been a drought. The crops didn't come in. Now they've got anxiety because they're like, oh my God, there's literally no food. Nowadays, what happens is our brain senses danger in the modern world of, like, did you see the way that person looked at me in the grocery store? They must think I'm overweight. They must think I'm taking up too much space. They must think blah, 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 blah. Or you go out to eat and everybody is having drinks and margaritas and chips and all the things, and, like, you're going to be on your diet, so you're going to order a salad, and your brain is like, danger, you're missing out on fun, or danger, everybody thinks, oh, fat girl's on a diet again. Like, our brain now, because it doesn't have real danger to contend with. I mean, if you think about your day-to-day life, how often in the last 3 months have you been in a life-threatening situation?
No.
Imminent, right? So what happens over time, and that when I mean time, I mean evolutionary time, is that our brain is like, I have got to figure out a way to be anxious. I can't see anything to be anxious about. So it creates what we call faux dangers now. And so one of the things that manages anxiety, it's two parts, is one, getting really good at knowing when you have what we call faux created anxiety. So it's like when you feel, let's say you eat to knock off hunger, you probably were getting anxiety because your brain was thinking you're not going to get enough food.
Right.
Like, you're just not going to get enough. Like, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be hungry like you were on that last diet. You know, God knows when you get to eat something you like again. Like, your brain will, like, just start humming with a lot of outrageous thinking. And then your anxiety will creep up, and then it will feel like, I need to eat more. The food is scarce now. So one technique is to, like, one side of the coin is we work on calming down what we call our unconscious beliefs that we don't even know we're thinking right now. That's what you and I are doing. We are kind of exposing like this idea that I have to eat. And it's like, I don't have to. It just feels really important to eat at times. So that automatically, if you think about it, when you're feeling all that anxiety and pressure and you're thinking you have to eat, otherwise you'll never feel, you're not going to feel better. And you think like, oh, okay. So I'm getting ready to teach this. In fact, on November 2nd, you didn't miss this in No BS. This is coming for the November 2nd workshop and all the materials for the Lose 10 by January. You're going to do what's called notice and narrate. This is a technique that's really good for anxious people.
Okay.
So now what you're going to do is, well, walk me through. Let's say you're eating and you're going to stop at enough. What are you going to feel?
I'll probably feel like this is good. I don't need to eat anymore. I'm
No, wait a
done.
minute. That's not how you've been feeling. I want to know how you've been feeling when you've ate till enough and
Okay,
it's
well,
like not been enough. It's
yeah,
been
I
like, I
see.
got to eat way more than that.
Yeah, okay, so it's usually like, okay, that's not enough. I need a protein shake. What else can I eat? This doesn't feel good. I feel overwhelmed.
I feel overwhelmed. Why do you think you feel overwhelmed?
Because I'm worried that I'll have a panic attack, and
Okay.
that wouldn't be good.
Okay. So that's where we want to notice. So notice and narrate would be you starting to understand, like you prop, this is the one thing I know about anxious people. You know when you're getting anxious. That's the good news because there's a lot of people out there who have shitty feelings. They don't even know when they're having them. They're so disconnected from their body. It's usually people who are more in the lower lying things. They don't even know that they feel bad. They just know that they're doing things as a result of feeling bad. Anxious people are very different. Y'all have a superpower. Y'all know y'all anxiety. Like, I know exactly how I'm gonna feel. I'm gonna sweat. I'm gonna feel this. I'm gonna feel that. Like, you're so hyper aware of it that you don't do anything to settle yourself down except eat, usually. Okay. In this group. All right. So, notice and narrate would be I'm feeling panicky because I think I'm going to have a panic attack. I'm feeling overwhelmed, or you said, I'm feeling right now, I'm feeling overwhelmed because I think I need to eat more food. Otherwise, I'll have a panic attack. So when we tell ourselves what's happening, I want you to just imagine. What would be the difference between you just having those thoughts versus you stopping for I mean, 20 seconds to just take a breath and say, I'm feeling really overwhelmed because I'm panicking, because I'm worried that I will have a panic attack if I don't eat more food. How would you feel in that instance?
I think it's control. Like there's a bit of control with admitting, talking to myself. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the power of notice and narrate. We want to kind of notice what goes on for us. And then we want to narrate what's happening in the moment. Because then what happens is when you narrate it and you feel a little bit more in control, like it's like, well, at least I now know what's happening. I don't just feel like I don't feel like I'm getting ready to have a panic attack. I'm now noticing that I'm thinking things that could lead to one. Now we go, open up with a choice. Before, we don't have a choice. Our brain thinks there's a fire and you got to put it out. Go get donuts right now. Over here, you have a choice. Do I want to see if I have a panic attack? Do I want to just see what happens? Maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe I can just wait a few minutes and see, did my body really get enough? I'm pretty sure my body will tell me in a little bit if it didn't. And
Yeah.
if it does need more, I'll just eat. That's like not a problem to eat. It's never a
Right.
problem to eat. It's a problem to eat when we're not thinking about it, when we're using food to put out fires.
Right.
And food can't, like, if food was ever going to solve your anxiety and panic attacks, it would have solved like 50 pounds ago. Second side of the coin, though, is I know you're newer. Have you listened to any of Kathy Hartman's calls yet?
That I think she was on your podcast one time, and I love what she had to say. So I think I've done one call with or one that I've listened to. So I
I
know
mean, have
she
you
might
listened to
be.
her calls in here? She was actually on the podcast for 200 episodes.
Because that got me interested. Because when I started listening, wow, that's really different than anything I've heard with weight loss. So, but no, I don't think I have.
Okay, so if you go to the replays, just search for Kathy.
Okay.
All of her calls will come up. Kathy is our nervous system specialist. Coach Elisa also does that work. She's also got some credentials and stuff, but Kathy is the one that leads our specific nervous system calls. And that's really good for anxious people
Okay.
because she goes through techniques on those calls on how to do something different than eat. So that's like things like some box breathing. There's lots of techniques to get grounded. Like for people with anxiety, sometimes they need to move around.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. That's one reason why people with anxiety eat is because anxiety is like a nervous energy in the body. And I always liken it to like toddlers. You know how, like, if your toddler's overly excited, you want them to get the willies out. So you try to, well, you probably don't know, but let's say your dog was overly excited. Same kind of concept. Like, you want to take them out for a walk. If you don't want your dog, chewing the furniture, we take dogs for walks because they need to exercise. They've got to get the willies out. Otherwise, they destroy what's in the house. Toddlers are the same way. What toddler don't get their willies out, they ain't ever going to bed, they ain't ever taking a nap, they ain't doing shit. Anxiety is nervous energy. So sometimes with anxiety, we have to do like bouncing, walking, like there's activity that we do. Chewing makes anxiety think that something's being done about it. It's not just about the food, it's not just about that. Then when you get all the food in, when you eat overly full, it doesn't allow the nervous energy in the body that's created from all the chemicals that are getting released. The more food you have and the more fat you have on your body, the less you feel nervous energy. That's why it becomes a solution. It is, I want you to just realize the only reason why this is happening is that at one point in your life, you got anxiety, you ate something, and your brain immediately made a connection of like, oh my gosh. When you chew food and I get overly full, all of the cortisol I'm pumping through your body, I can't feel it as much. Cortisol didn't really go anywhere. You just can't feel it. It's like wrapping yourself up in cotton bubble wrap and you name anything else soft. It's like now I'm sitting there like that. That's why I can't feel it. So we just want to work on both sides. I think one side is you having these different conversations. So that you're not always reinforcing subconsciously that I have to eat. I mean, what else would we do? I mean, this is the thing. And then on the other side, it's like having techniques that help with that energy so that you're solving both sides at the same time.
Okay, that's helpful. That makes sense.
Yeah, you listen to Kathy's calls. I think that will be really helpful. I think she does. I know she does a call every month. It's usually on like a Tuesday evening around 5 p.m. If you ever want to come to one of her calls and get coached, she would love it. She would love nothing more than to do it.
Okay, that sounds great. I'm glad I got the guts to raise the hand.
And I think it's really helpful. I mean, this is, you would not believe how many of our Nobius women, anxiety is their thing. We just have a lot of women in this. I mean, my husband always tells me, he's like, you have to think about the root cause of weight is for, I just think for 90% of the population, we're not having a discipline issue. It's not that we don't know enough about how to lose weight. It's not commitment. It's things like that. It's these root cause things that prevent discipline, They prevent commitment. It's like these things underneath us that are going on. So he's like, our women, these are the problems they have. Like, I'm going to attract a lot of anxious people. I'm going to attract a lot of depressed people. I'm going to attract a lot of people pleasers. I'm going to attract a lot of perfectionists because that's the most common reasons why most of us are overweight. It has nothing to do with like, I'm just addicted to sweets. It's like, no, you're addicted to solving anxiety with candy or whatever it is. Okay.
Corinne, thank
Thank
you.
you. You're welcome. And welcome to No
Bye.
BS.
Thank
All right.
you.
All right. Let me get over here so I can see. All right, Susan, let's promote you. Let me see if I can fix Renee real quick. I swear, Zoom has got like 4,000 windows and it's driving me freaking crazy. Okay. All right, let's go. What are we coaching on?
Hi. So my weight loss journey with you has been a few years. I was stuck for a while, but I did last year lose about 35 pounds. So I got to a really good place, but I had 40 more that I wanted to lose. And I just decided that I wanted to try the GLP-1s. And
Good for you.
I held off on that for a while. And now that I'm on it, it's like, why did I not do this sooner? Because
Oh,
it
I
really
know
is.
why. Everybody has some kind of fucking weird stigma about it. I think when they
Yeah.
first, let me tell you why. When they first came out, everybody acted as if we were, kicking puppies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I'm pushing grandpa down on a Tuesday and kicking a puppy on a Wednesday. Like it was just crazy. Then we went through the phase of like, well, that's the people who take the easy way out. And
Yeah,
I'm
I think that
like,
was.
no, I've never, I got so many of y'all in that group. And I'm like, I feel like sometimes wanting to just scratch out y'all's names, but just show people comments and the conversations and be like, does this look easy? It's
Yeah,
not
yeah,
easy. So I know why we all hesitate. So I don't want you to
yeah,
feel like I'm glad you made the decision for you. I think
yeah.
get shocked that I am so down with it. And I'm like, I have always said I want every woman to lose her weight and feel as amazing as she deserves. And I feel like if we can figure out a medical intervention, then we should figure that out. Like,
Yeah.
let's,
Yep.
how do we get there is my question. So, all right. So tell me what you want help with.
So what I've found, I've been on it now for 2, 3 months, I think, and I've lost weight since I've been on it. It's going great, except for I had a lot of like habit eating that I no longer am enticed to go like in the kitchen to avoid working. So I'm actually getting more work done, which is nice. But I'm not hungry. Like I'm not hungry, so I don't eat. And yesterday, for example, it was like 7 o'clock and I said to my husband, I don't think I've eaten today. And I started to get a headache, like starting to listen to whatever cues my body is going to give me because it's not going to be hunger. And so I finally
But a
did eat
headache is
something.
a hunger signal.
Yeah,
It's
definitely.
a very late hunger signal, but
Yeah.
that is a hunger signal. I think a lot of times we always try to make hunger signals be all about the belly.
Yeah.
And you can ask everybody on this call. There are some Sundays that I am so busy from the moment I wake up until we hit 10 o'clock, I can't eat. And then on Sundays, I almost always have 2 to 3 calls. And by noon, I
Yeah.
finally have a belly that will like let me know. My
Yeah.
hunger signals have never started in the belly. They've
Yeah.
always started in my mind
Yeah.
and in my lungs. I get
That's
to
a
where I'm
really
just like barely breathing. I'm tired, I'm yawning,
That's a really good point because I think what I need to just tune into is what the signals that I am getting earlier, not the, pounding headache and
Yes.
brain fog that comes up when you're super hungry. But I guess that was one of the things I thought it would be helpful to get coaching on is how to manage that, not being hungry but still wanting to make sure I get all the protein I need. I am doing strength training, so I'm making sure that I'm not losing muscle any more than I have to. And
You
then,
want to make sure you're eating enough, though. Like
yeah.
muscle, you can strength. I'm going to say this for all of you. I've been really researching this stuff for y'all. In fact, I went for my physical yesterday and I talked to my doctor about it. He was like, "Are you wanting to take these?" I said, "No." And he was like, "I always forget you run a weight loss company." I only, luckily for me, I'm a very healthy animal. And so I don't see him about once a year. So, you know,
The
and
research. It's
yeah,
just
no, because I kept asking all these questions. He's like, "Well, you don't look like you need to lose weight. Why are you asking all these questions?" And I was like, "I need to help my ladies." So, anyway, one of the things I want to make sure y'all understand is that muscle needs like three things, actually, four, but man, I could probably list five now. But let me just say this. Let me list them and then we'll know what my number is at the end. Number one is you do have to be challenging muscle to keep muscle. So that's just your strength training. So we need to be lifting weights, which you're doing. Number two, they've got to have protein. That is like the primary macro that muscle needs first. So we want to have the protein so that we can, you know, stave off muscle loss. Three is water. Muscles will not grow and they will not stick around if you're dehydrated. And your body will save fat before muscle for chronically dehydrated. So it doesn't matter how much you lived, and it won't matter how much protein you're getting if you're shitting out on the water. I know that from my bodybuilding days. One of the side effects of GLP-1s is you lose thirst alongside of losing hunger. So, you know, I want you to think about hunger and thirst very similarly. Waiting until you're thirsty means you're dehydrated now. So now we're like, you know, we're behind the eight ball on a GLP-1. Probably for a lot of you, depending on what's going on, waiting for hunger means I'm behind the eight ball. Okay. The other two things that muscle really needs is muscle also needs carbs. So a lot of you want to kind of like not eat carbs. And I'm like,
That's not me.
you want to keep your muscle, you better have the carbs because carbohydrate is what will get the water in the muscle. It works together. So, like back when I used to do bodybuilding, when we would do shows and stuff, like before, while we were training, we had to drink like 1 gallon to 2 gallons of water a day. And that's a lot of water. I used to be the girl that lugged a jug around with, I mean, I went everywhere with my Kroger jug. Like, people would be like, "Why you carry that jug?" It's like, "Oh, bodybuilder, gotta drink my water." Like we were paranoid about it. Then we would have right before we get ready to compete, they would remove all of our carbs, and we wouldn't look as muscular. We would go from looking amazing about 3 weeks before you get on stage. Oh my God, I would fuck myself. Like you look that good. Like you just look good. Your muscles are everywhere. Then we would like take all the carbs out, and it would be like, where'd my muscles go? It's because the carbs are what fill the muscle. So then, right before we got on stage, they wouldn't let us drink water, and we would have to eat carbs like you wouldn't believe. And all of a sudden, what water we had plus those carbs, man, I'd be like jacked, like in a day. Like it was the craziest thing. So you want to have your water, you want to have your carbs. The last thing, which is optional, is creatine. I think creatine just helps you lift better, recover better. I like creatine. I take creatine. It's got a lot of, it's the most proven supplement out there and one of the most safe supplements out there.
Yeah, I
So, and it's
actually
been around
started
since
taking
the
that
70s.
recently. It is something I've added in. I don't notice a difference, but I got to make sure I'm getting it in every day. I think I've been
You
spotty.
need, yeah, do it every day. It's the buildup over time. Makes it work. But I will tell you, when you take creatine, y'all, you're not going to feel it.
Yeah,
You're not going to be like, "Oh my God, look what all the things it's doing." It's like creatine is one of those things that at best what you'll notice is that when you're lifting weights, you can keep lifting heavier. You'll just notice over time, you can just keep going, keep going, keep going. When I go off creatine for like, if I, you know, decide to take a month off or whatever, like, you know, our shipment didn't come in and I get out of routine, I notice all of a sudden I feel like I'm like kind of almost regressing in the gym. Like I'm like, ugh, just can't lift as heavy today. I don't know what's going on, you know? And then I suddenly remember creatine is what helps you recover faster so that you can get stronger.
Okay.
That's really all it's doing is like giving you the capacity to recover faster. Now, the reason why I say all this is I think you have to remember that hunger signals, if you are taking something artificial and it's going to blunt your hunger signals, then what we've got to do is we have to listen to our body in what I call the new way. This is where we do need to go to timed eating.
Okay.
You need to say, like, I'm going to need to eat breakfast knowing I'm not physically hungry, but my body, my muscle, the ability to like long-term keep this weight off so that my, you know, when you lose muscle, that's where your metabolism takes. When they say like, as we get older, our metabolism goes down, it has nothing to do with age. Because men's metabolism doesn't go down. That's because most men lifted weights for a long time. They have more muscle than us. Women, we lose muscle so rapidly and fast once we get to perimenopause. Women think they're losing their metabolism when they're actually losing the muscle. And that's what fires metabolism. Less muscle, less metabolism, less calories needed.
Okay.
So we want to keep what we can keep. So I would go to timed eating. Timed eating means I'm listening to my body in a new way. I know that my muscle and I know that my body's going to need to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I'm not going to probably be traditionally hungry for it, but my body is craving for me to eat so that it can lose weight in a way where I don't lose a lot of muscle and I keep my metabolism in check and my bones in check, because muscle is what keeps your bones in check too.
Yeah. I mean, this month we're working on plans. So this is the month to, you know, sort of get that habit in place better than it has been. And, and you know, that may be the thing that I need is just making sure that I follow a schedule. So
I would follow a schedule.
Okay.
For all of you, please make sure you're not losing more than a pound or two a week.
Yeah, that's about what I'm doing. Okay. Yeah,
that's good. As long as you can keep it there, keep your strength trained, but also, you know, you want to keep enough food. Because one of the things, I have a friend who actually has been on a GLP-1, and one of the things she kept telling me was she was losing a lot of weight. And I mean, and I don't think she was losing it bad, but she was kind of like you. She said, just not hungry. And it's really hard for me to make myself eat, blah, blah, blah. And I kept talking to her about like, well, I think you're going to need to eat. And then one day we had coffee and she said, I don't know what's wrong with me. She's like, but I'm just exhausted all the time now.
Mm-hmm.
Like so tired in the afternoons and all this other stuff. And I said, I know exactly what's wrong.
Yeah.
You ain't got enough food. I was like, this is your body saying, you know, like you're not hungry, but it's because you're doing a shot. Like your body is now saying, I'm really tired. I'm starting to show you signs of fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
I need food. I'm showing it now in a new way. So that's like another signal to watch out for.
Yeah, I definitely have had days where I've noticed that as well. So, well, thank you. This has been really helpful. I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. All right. Bye-bye. And I just want to say, y'all, I do not pretend to be the expert on this at all, but as I do with most things, when I want to learn things, ask a lot of questions, I listen to a ton of podcasts, I try to read books, I pay attention to what y'all put in that Facebook group, because there's a lot of you who have really good knowledge. I just want to give a shout out. I don't know if Christy Larson is even here. She probably is. Well, no, she's here. Christy Larson, I swear to God, you are everywhere. Time I think like on a Tuesday afternoon, I know she can't be here. Here you are. But I'd probably listen to Christy. I'm like sitting, she's a pharmacist. She's got a good background and stuff. And I've been watching her post. I think I'm learning a lot just from what she posts. So for all of you, like I am learning a lot about this. And I'm not going to promise you I know everything. But I've got Dr. Matea, like pretty much on speed dial if I ever need anything. She's an obesity medicine doctor and specialist. If you don't listen to her podcast, I highly encourage you to listen to her podcast. I don't know the name, but if you just look up her, it's Mattea, and it's Ari. Does anybody know Dr. Mattea or her podcast? If you do, will you put it in the chat for me? I should know it, and I absolutely don't. So anyway, you can look her up. If y'all don't find her, post in the Facebook group and I will get it, and I will, and tag me. Just tag me in your group and I'll find it and I'll reply if nobody else does. I have been on her podcast and she's been on my podcast. I think she was on my podcast where I did a two-part series on GLP-1s. I believe she was on that podcast, but we've also done another podcast together. So, all right, Miranda. Is there a certain brand of creatine? Yes, Kitty. It's in my faves. If you go to the website, there is just search Corinne's faves, and the creatine that I recommend, which is Thorne creatine. The reason why I recommend it is, one, we take all of their vitamins. It's the ones that we give Logan. It's the one that we give Lexi, my niece. They're high quality. They're good quality grade. They ain't got no filler, no weird shit, none of that junk. Sometimes when you're like, somebody told me that either 90 or 95% of the creatine on the market is made in China. And I ain't got nothing against China, except they're putting shit in the creatine. So you're not actually getting pure creatine, you're getting filler. And I just don't want to put filler in my body if I don't have to. And so you're getting pure, like, a very good quality grade creatine with Thorne. And that's the one I eat or eat. I don't eat it. In fact, when we were on vacation, Chris and I were putting it in our water every morning. And so we had a house that my whole family stayed at. All 13 of us were staying there. And so the upstairs level were the quiet people, downstairs was the loud people. And we had like a bar. And so Chris and I were mixing our creatine every morning. I said at the end of the week, I was like, we have to wipe this up. It looks like we have been doing blow for a week on this vacation. It was like white powder everywhere. Either that or they thought, man, them people are so rich, they can just leave their Coke leftovers everywhere. All right, Miranda, what you want help with?
Hi, Corinne. This is my first time meeting with you. So, first time calling in. My question or my just conversation with you is very much like Susan's. So, I've been on a GLP-1 since December and I've lost about 30 pounds. And it's really cool, but I'm definitely using no BS principles to support me along the way. I feel like my metabolism has slowed down or my weight loss has slowed down, especially from, early on in the program, I was losing about 1 pound a week, and now it's more like 0.25 or nothing. And so I was wondering, like, is it my metabolism? Am I not eating enough? And co ask coaches have said, well, are you eating too much? Like, how is your enough signal? And are you eating to enough? Are you eating when you're only hungry? And I'll say, like, the volume of food that I eat is very, very low. And I'll tell you one other thing. I went on a honeymoon early in September, and I mostly followed no BS principles, but I definitely had better best foods. So I drank alcohol and I had deep fried cheese balls and I
Wait a
ate
minute,
all
you
this
had the
like
good
insane stuff.
food, not the
I had
better
the
best food.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had good food. I had all good foods. You're right.
I was like, I had better food. I had the better best
No.
foods. Alcohol.
Okay. Yes, I had good food. And
Right.
ironically, I lost, like, I got to my lowest weight 2 days after coming home from that trip. And I was like, I ate kind of like an asshole. And here I was, like, I ate really rich foods. And then I
That's
kind of
where,
bounced
like,
back
hey,
up.
can we just say this for a second? Eating like an asshole has nothing to do with eating rich foods. To me, eating like an asshole is, this is my definition. I don't think I've ever defined it. So I appreciate you saying that. Eating like an asshole is eating for a reason that keeps you from solving a real problem in your life. To me, that's like the ultimate definition of being an asshole to myself. It means
Got it.
I'm not listening to me. Like,
Got
I'm
it.
refusing to console myself, soothe myself, be compassionate with whatever's going on. To me, eating like a ha asshole is when I'm just like, fuck it. I know that you're going to pay the price tomorrow, bitch, but right now I could give a shit about your goals. So that would
Yeah,
be an asshole. So,
got
well,
it.
one thing, let me ask you this. I have a few questions because I want to diagnose what's going on before I give you any advice. The first one would be, when you went on vacation, did you relax more than you do when you're at home?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Sometimes that weight release that we experience on vacation, even if we're eating like rich foods and things like that, and there, this is controversial on the Instagram world. And so I don't agree with about half the influencers on there, but sometimes we hold water, like a pound or two of just stress, just toting it around. And very often, if we go on vacation and we're not stressed, like we're not worrying, we're not overly busy, we're actually getting more sleep than we normally do, those kinds of things, our body has a chance to recover. And so it releases, like stress inflammation. Now, some people think they've got 10 to 20 pounds of that. It's like, no, nobody's got 10 to 20 pounds of that. If you've got 10 to 20 pounds of water weight, that is not stress. Now, you might have a medical issue that's causing that kind of inflammation, but a lot of times what happens is we don't even realize that if we drop some weight, even if we're eating a little bit more than we normally do or differently than we normally do on vacation, it's because when we were on vacation, we dropped some stress. We dropped busyness. We dropped pushing ourselves too hard. We dropped a lot of the shit that we do when we're at home. And so then our body is like, oh, well, let me let go of some of this shit. Like, I don't need cortisol is what kind of courses through our body all the time when we are chronically busy or to-do list this long or, all the things that I talk about. And so when you have cortisol, cortisol requires water. So if you're constantly pumping it, your body says, well, I'm going to keep like a little padding, so I can make sure this cortisol can keep pumping. So that's one thing that could have happened to explain it. Let me ask you about when you say low volume of food. Because if you're losing a little, I just want to like get a really good picture of like, what does an average day of food look like for you? Like, I don't need to know everything you eat. Just like, give me a rundown of what, like, this is how much I eat, and this is the types of foods I eat in an average day while I'm on my GLP-1 trying to lose weight.
So like breakfast is usually a little bowl of cereal and whole milk.
Like, what kind
Lunch,
of cereal?
like Cinnamon Toast Crunch. So
Okay.
kind of carby cereal. And
And
then
that's it. Carbs are no problem. But when you say a little bowl, do you measure it all? Do you have a guess as to how much your bowl is? Or is it a bowl and you fill it to your cereal bowl? Or is it like half full? Or what would you say?
It's a decent bowl of cereal. So it's like about a fist size of cereal and maybe like half a cup of milk. And
Do you think that's true? Because when you say it's a big bowl and you say it's a fist and a half a cup of milk, that is not much.
Oh,
That's
that's
one cup total
yes.
food.
Yeah. Well, and the irony is after I'm done eating that, I'm like, oh, was that too much? Maybe I should have left the milk behind. Maybe I should have left a couple of bites, but I usually finish my cereal. So, and that also accompanies, it accompanies a 1 cup of coffee with half and half and a little sugar. So that's gold standard, very common. And then lunch is usually an omelet or a piece of salmon or fish, so pescatarian. And then usually something carby, like a handful of crackers, and usually it's like leftovers from the night before, like steamed vegetables or that's about it. We eat a lot of broccoli and Brussels sprouts, asparagus. Then again, no snacking, and then lunch would be something like a piece
Oh,
of
wait, I thought
salmon.
that was lunch.
I'm sorry.
Is the omelet
Lunch.
in the
So the noon meal would be like an omelet or that. So then supper, the evening meal, would be something like
a piece of salmon, like a fillet, or a piece of cod, and or sometimes I'll have like vegan chicken, those chicken nuggets or chicken fillets with a big salad with like a half apple sliced up with a little bit of Parmesan and Caesar. So that's a very common lunch. And I struggle wanting to complete eating even like three of those little chicken nugget thingies. Like I'll often just say, oh, I'm so like, I'm feeling like I'm starting to feel full. I'm gonna give it to my husband and he finishes it. So
Don't.
like, yeah.
And
So like
do you exercise at all?
I do a lot of long walks. Yep.
Long
So I
walk.
do those at least 30 minutes, every 30 minutes, three times a week, walking my dog, and then a long hike on the weekends. And
So
I,
3 30-minute walks a week and one long hike.
yes.
No strength training.
No strength training. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So like I feel like when we say getting 100 grams of protein, I'm like, oh, that's a lot of protein. And granted, I've listened to your talks where that's only 400 grams of protein, or I think it's 400
400
grams. It's
calories.
like 400 calories is about 100 grams. So that's actually pretty reasonable. But I feel like with my egg whites, and I do add some yolks in with the omelets. I have
That's
chicken,
fine.
so I can be picky with my eggs. You know, I've never counted the amount of protein that I'm getting, but you know, I know that I'm eating to this like this level where I'm like, my body's like, don't do any more. You don't want any more of that. I'm like, and before GLP-1, that signal was, you know, much further down the path of eating. So I know I'm eating like what I think is pretty small quantities of food. And that was what I thought, like going on my honeymoon when I was, you know, really pushing that enough signal. Like I mostly didn't overeat. And I still lost weight. It blew my mind away. So oh, the other thing that I have, I thought, well, maybe it's my thyroid. Maybe I'm having some, like, so I went and got my blood work evaluated. And I do have slightly elevated levels of thyroid stimulating hormone. But my doctor said, oh, it's subclinical. We never treat it. You know, we're not, they suggested that it really
I
wouldn't
don't,
help me.
unless you had like something obvious in your medical work, I don't think that's going to be your problem. I think
Okay.
there's a few tweaks we can make.
Yeah.
Now, y'all know I'm not a calorie counter and I'm not a big measurer, except for y'all. When y'all have a stall, it's very different. If we can't identify, like if you're really saying to me, I really am not having emotional eating right now.
Yes.
That was going to be my next question is, do you have any effort moments? Do you have any emotional eating going on? Is there like days where it's like, well, on these days I kind of eat this stuff, blah, blah, blah. You know, is there anything that you would call an outlier in your eating that I need to be aware of before I tell you what I want you to do?
I feel really good about emotional eating, that it'd be very rare that I would do that. Maybe
What does
once
rare
every
mean?
like once every 6 months, you know, that kind
Okay,
of thing.
that's
So
rare. All right.
rare.
Sometimes people call it rare and they'll say, like, it's very rare. It's only like 4 times a week.
Yeah,
Like,
yeah. Now
you wouldn't believe how
before
many women have told me that. I'm like, that's not rare anymore. That's called pattern.
a pattern.
Yeah. Okay. So this is what I want to say. I think you should weigh and measure some food.
Okay.
Not long term, but to get an accurate picture of how much you're actually eating so that we can decide, are you under eating? There
Yes.
are some people that on these drugs that will get into under eating. Now, long term, your body's not going to hold on to this weight forever. Like the whole starvation effect is not a really true thing. Because if you think about like, if starvation effect was real, then when people go on shows like Alone or Survivor, where they really can't eat, why are they losing weight? Because they truly cannot eat. What a lot of us do, though, is we get into this holding pattern where we're just not eating enough. And so our body is like loath to let go of anything. And then while it's letting it go, it's letting go of shit you don't want it to. Now it starts letting go of bone and muscle, which is the last thing anybody needs. Because if your metabolism is going to tank, it takes for one reason. Muscle in your body is the metabolic active tissue. Fat is not metabolically active. And so the less muscle you carry, the less you get to eat, the older you get. So that's why it's like Corinne loves to eat. Corinne will lift weights until she is in a nursing home and they refuse to let her anymore because I am determined to be eating a full fucking meal until I die. So crossing our fingers that happens. Me and Jane both, we will be like sitting with our cats in a nursing home long after our husbands died, eating good meals and probably still going out. If I have to get somebody to push my wheelchair, we will go out on a walk every day. So I want you to weigh and measure.
Okay.
And I want you to get an accurate picture of what you're eating and how much. One tweak I would make, I know you love your Cinnamon Toast Crunch, but that's probably the one meal of the day that you could get just a better bang for your buck on food. And so if you could just add in, like, mix your Cinnamon Toast Crunch with maybe even just a high protein cereal, do a half and half, that would help. Because milk's got some protein, but it's not a lot of protein. And I'm glad you're doing whole milk because I think that that's better than, doing skim and shit like that. Some people use a protein shake as their milk. That's what my husband does. When he was recovering from cancer, he couldn't eat anything but fucking Rice Krispies, saltines, and white rice for like 8 weeks. It was the most bland diet. Luckily, it was him because he is the one person in the world that can do that and it not bother. He enjoyed having Rice Krispies every day, 3 times a day for 8 weeks. And he poured a protein shake in it every single time. He just thought it was the most delicious meal he ever had. In fact, some days he still does it and I'm like, no. So maybe switch your milk out for a protein shake if you feel like you need to get more protein. I don't know if you do. I mean, you may need to. But let's just see what happens with that. The other thing I would just encourage you to do is like, is there a reason why you don't strength train?
I have it on my to-do list. It's purely out of I just kind of dread the idea of going to the gym and but I'll tell you this, like I have a little fob and it's in a little pile to clean and get it and I do have it on my to-do list to start strength training because I do feel like I have a scale that measures my body composition. It's really cool. And it says that I haven't lost muscle. It does say I'm losing fat. So I think that's really good. But I can tell that I have less muscle than what I did from like 10 years ago. And I'm
Which scale
45.
do you have? Which scale do you have?
Let me
Is it
see.
Rinfo?
It is called, ooh. So I'm using an app called iHealth, and then it is, hold on, I'm going back. It's called FitNexus. FitNexus.
Yeah, I will just say all of the scales, they're not going to be accurate. The
Okay.
best they can give you is kind of a trend line. Like I've
Yeah.
got Rinfo. There's a lot of them out there. I had a DEXA scan not too long ago. My doctor does InBody every year when you do a physical. Just had that done. Even the InBody, which is like sit there and you hold handles and it like does this big thing, it's not even as accurate as a DEXA.
Yeah.
I wouldn't bet that that scale is accurate. If you're not strength training, how old are you?
45.
If you're not strength training and you haven't already started losing muscle, you will. If you
Yeah.
don't do something about it. So that's just like, I'm just trying to, my mission is to make sure every woman lifts. Now, if you don't want to go to the gym, you can do this at home. Just get you a few pairs of dumbbells. Like you don't need like
Yeah.
a whole outfit. There are plenty of videos online. I used to recommend it, not other day somebody was recommending it. So they must still be on YouTube. And they're really good. They're called Fitness Blender. They are free, they are short. And they are really good at explaining what to do. And you
Good.
just do like their upper body, or you could do their full body, whatever you want to do. It doesn't take a ton of weights to get a decent workout. In fact, I lift a ton of weights. And the other day I had to work out at home and I had to do legs. And very often at home, like when I'm at the gym, I go really heavy on legs. And so I didn't have like this, like I didn't have like an extension, a leg press, anything like that. I just did like I think three different variations of squats with a moderate weight. I just did a few things. For 2 fucking days, my quads were so goddamn sore I could barely walk. I told Chris, I was like, I cannot believe this. Like, I mean, wretched sore. So you don't have to have a lot to do the trick. And you can like literally, if you could just do it 3 times a week for 20 minutes, I think that's going to be a great way to start, plus probably plenty, even 2 times a week. We just want to make sure that it staves off. But the other thing would be, I think it could also kickstart like getting it like to where you're losing at least a half a pound a week. Sometimes little tweaks like that make a big difference.
And I feel like I only have 10 pounds to lose, so I think I'm in that space where these little tweaks are going to add up.
Yep. Yeah. It's the like usually the last 10, everybody always thinks that's the hardest. The last 10 is not the hardest. It's where the smallest of things have to change and you think they're not going to be good enough, or it's the last things you want to change. It's like for you, your 10 pounds might be hiding behind lifting weights. And it's like, well, I've put it off as long as I can. So like the hard is just starting that habit. So I would weigh and measure your food. Let's get an accurate counting of how much you're eating. Because if you went on vacation, there's like three things for you to attack. One, let's make sure you're eating enough because when you're on vacation, you ate rich food. So your calorie count probably went up and you weren't even eating like extra. You were just probably eating richer. And so your body dropped weight. So that could be one thing. We know one thing could be also, it could be either or either and, I think is what I actually want to say. Stress management. So if you are always stressed, but you're just not eating over it, then you know that that might be another area to tackle. The third would be adding in the strength training to give your body like that extra push and challenge that it needs to, whenever your muscles are recovering, muscles won't recover from walks. I mean, they recover for like, an hour, but strength training for 24 to 48 hours, your body turns up the heat because it's trying to fix what you just tore down. But you get that extra benefit of those extra calories being burned by your body when you strength train. Plus, I just want you to one day, maybe you'll be in a room down the hallway from me and Jane. I can bring you a jar and you can be like, thank God you taught me to strength train, Corinne. I can open your jars for you.
Sounds great.
We always say we're going to create like no BS, but like, you know how there's what is it called? The villages where all the old people
Intentional
retire. Like,
community.
yeah, we're going to have the no BS version of the villages. And there's just going, all of us just sitting around. Now we're going to be thin old ladies opening jars all day long, taking walks. All
It sounds perfect.
right. Thank you. You're
Thank you so much. Bye.
welcome. Bye. Wouldn't it be fun to have like the no BS villages? Let's see. Last questions, and then we'll get out of here. I've been on Zepbound for 2 years and have lost 75 pounds. Between the shot and your program, I've now plateaued and my weight is not budging. I have upped my gym time. My nutritionist has had me increase my calories. Good. My body is changing, but the numbers aren't moving. Jen, if your body is changing, I wouldn't worry so much about it right now. It like eventually it will. We just like, I don't know how long you've been plateaued, Jean. So if it's been like 6 weeks, if it's been 2 months, but you've also added in strength training, but your body is changing, I would just keep doing what you're doing, not get too consumed with the scale. Because if your body's changing, that means that now you've stimulated some muscle growth. You could still be losing some fat, but they're just offsetting each other. And the way I've always explained it for all of y'all is that muscle doesn't weigh more than fat. So I want you to imagine this. If I was to show you 2 pounds of gold and I showed you 2 pounds of feathers, gold would be like 2 pounds would even be more than this. Let's just pretend that, let's do this. 2 pounds of gold would look like this pen. 2 pounds of feathers looks like this can. So often, what's happening is you're just replacing one for the other. It's like the fat's coming off, but the muscle's getting added. And so on the scale, you're not netting anything. It's just a net zero. So that could be happening. Let's see, I've upped my gym time, but this is the thing. If you've upped your gym time, don't up cardio for all of you. If y'all knew how little cardio I do in a given week, I mean, I might walk run once or twice a week. My goal is always three. I never get there. It's lifting. I lift almost always four times a week. In fact, I was just like telling Chris yesterday, I got like 1,400 steps yesterday. 1,400, because I had so many recordings and shit to do. And I had to go to my doctor's office. And so I was like, I've got to start walking more. But you know what I got done yesterday? An hour of lifting weights. That got done because I'm always going to make sure that I lift weights and then I'm going to prioritize everything else after that. And if I run out of time for the other stuff, I run out of time. But weights are not going to get compromised because I just feel like they have a bigger bang for their buck overall in my health picture. Now, I do want to walk for longevity. I do want to I lift pretty aggressively. So like, I don't like jump around or anything, but I do my heart rate. I watch my watch. Like if I'm doing legs, especially, I'm getting up into the 160s, 170s because I'm really struggling. Hell, even when I do chest presses, it gets really high because I lift pretty heavy on the chest too. I've got to stop though. I was looking yesterday. It's like fucking my boobs up. I can do this. I wish I could take my top off and show y'all, but I don't have a bra on, so I would not do that to y'all. But I can like flex my chest and my boobs drop down and you can see like a dude's muscle. So, what are your thoughts, if any, about NAD supplementation? Curious if you or anyone on the call has used it or their experience. So, Christy actually asked where I get my HRT. I go to a nurse practitioner who works in conjunction with my doctor and stuff. And they sell it. But she just told me in private because she kind of knows, like, what I do with y'all. And she said, I just wouldn't do it. She's like, I only added it to the buffet of things because so many people wanted it. And she said, like, I was just asking her about it. And she's like, I just wouldn't do it. She's like, so that, I mean, that's all I know. I talked to Jamie one day. That's all I really know. But I am just on progesterone. Dissected thyroid and testosterone cream. And I think I'm on the lowest dose of testosterone. Testosterone. Bleh. What brand of protein shake is best? The one you like to drink? I do that Core Life because they're already pre-made. My husband drinks Huel. I don't really have a like Coach MJ drinks a different one. It's in the Corinne's faves, the one Coach MJ drinks. But in my mind, I'm like, I mean, I'm pretty sure there are probably very healthy versions or whatever. But when it comes to protein shakes, I just like those Core Life Power ones that are pre-made and you get them in the refrigerator at Kroger. They're not super expensive and they taste delicious. I think they're Fairlife is, I think it's Fairlife is the brand and Core Power is what they make. And I love the strawberry banana if I'm drinking it. And I use the vanilla like when, if we're going to use it in cooking things. So, y'all are getting, I believe, this week, this new apple French toast bake that I've been eating for breakfast. It is delicious and it will make your house smell amazing when you make it. And it's got that's the protein shake we use in it. And then I put Greek yogurt on top of it. And that apple, I think it's called apple pie French toast. It has 19 grams of protein in it. And then I put a container of Oikos Greek yogurt, the 20 gram version on top. So I'm starting my day with 40 grams of protein right there. I am always just like, and it is the like literally the best meal of the day. I look so forward to that meal because it is delicious. In fact, other day I was like, maybe I'm going to switch to eating my dinner for breakfast, and then I'm going to eat my breakfast for dinner. So I feel like I'm eating dessert at night. I am off of Wegovy for 30 days due to a shoulder surgery. A bit nervous of weight gain. Do you suggest a course? No BS. Like if you're going to be off of it, I would just retake the no BS course Or you could do this. You can think about why are you nervous? Like, which part are you nervous about? Like, are you nervous about eating past enough? Are you eating, are you nervous about eat like overeating emotionally? Are you nervous about not waiting for hunger? We have individual courses for the areas that y'all struggle with. So if you're worried about, let's say, like, I do good all day, but I'm worried about my nighttime eating, I would take the nighttime eating course. Let's say you say, I'm worried about stopping at enough, then you would take the stopping at enough course. I won't wait for hunger. You take the waiting for hunger course. So I would just like think about what is it in particular that you're nervous about, and then retake that course and see if that helps. The other thing you can do is use this time to do like the journaling camp. It's over in the courses also, because if you're really nervous, you might just want to journal about why. It's not like you don't know what to do. And it's not like Wegovy. But this is the thing I think I want all of you to understand. Your shots are not controlling your brain and your decision making. You think it is. It's not. If it was, you wouldn't be like, when you're on that stuff, you would never be tempted. You would never overeat. It would all be smooth sailing. You'd never have a worry. You'd just be like, all right, now I'm on the shot. I have no worries at all. Like, there's no panic that this won't work later. There's no blah, blah, blah. You'd just be like, oh, good. I'm going to form habits and nothing, blah, blah, blah. The problem is that y'all give so much credit to the shot and you're not giving yourself credit for, I made the decision to go on them. I'm the one that decides to follow now the new hunger cues. Like, if it's not asking you for hunger, I'm going to give y'all a really big secret. Write it down. Before you went on the shot, your body wasn't asking for hunger either. You just chose not to listen. When you're on the shot, your body's not asking for food, you're choosing to listen. You're the one doing it. Same thing with enough. Your body was telling you when you had enough. You chose to override it. On the shot, your body's telling you when you've had enough in this new way. You're choosing to listen to it. At any time, whether you're on the shot or not, you're the one who's always in control. You're the one who's either listening to it or not. Now, it does the thing that I like, this is what I really want to figure out is the thing that's different is that when you're on the shot, it's like dampening the actual, like, I don't know how to describe it. This is the most unscientific explanation you will ever get in this. And please God, if there's a doctor in here, don't make fun of me. But biologically, because you're on the shot, like, your blood sugar is more regulated, the signals aren't pumping as like they were. When the signals pumped at all, your brain just thought its thoughts to eat. Before, your signals were also very correlated to your stress levels and stuff. That's why you thought about food so much. Now that your stomach can't do it, it's just not triggering you to think about food. But I would bet you a lot of you would tell me, it's like, well, even though I'm not hungry and stuff, when I get stressed, do you ever think about food? Do you sometimes want to go to that? Even though you're, but what happens is because you're really like your stomach is now turned off. I just want you to think about, this is just my opinion. This is what I think happens. I think that now, if you are a stress eater, let's say, and before when you were on the shot or off the shot, when you were stressed, it was so closely tied to like your stomach, your body was like, I'm so used to when she feels stress, I should send up hunger to get her to eat because that is how she's going to deal with the stress. Now, what happens is you get stressed, your body's like, but I'm on the shot. I can't send up that anymore. That's all that's happening. It's not taking away your stress and your food noise. They're just getting disconnected. And you need to see that. Otherwise, you're giving all the credit to the shot, which will make you paranoid when you come off the shot that you won't be able to continue. All of the research that shows that people regain weight after these things, it is no different than the research that shows that when people go on traditional diets, that they regain. Why do you think that happens? It's not because they're not on the shot anymore. It's because while you're on it, you have a beautiful opportunity to now stop being a people pleaser, to work on all the reasons why you comfort ate, to like our first person, to work on anxiety. Like all we talked about was like new ways to work on anxiety and stuff like that. It frees you to work on that stuff because you're not triggered to solve what's happening in your life automatically with food because your body's not going to closely tag, like connect those two things. That's all that's happening. So you get to feel confident that when you come off the shots, that you'll be able to keep your weight off if you do like you were always supposed to do, whether you did an OBS, keto, Weight Watchers, shots, I don't care what it is. If you work on the root causes of your life that you were eating over before, if you solve that stuff while you're losing weight, you get to keep your weight off just like everybody else, just like I did. I lost my weight solving root causes. And when I solved root causes, I gifted myself maintenance for life. If you lose weight without solving root causes, where all you do is sit there and do a diet and give the diet credit, and you just white knuckle through your life, you don't improve your life, you don't get the gift of maintenance. You get the gift of, I lost weight and I kept all the shitty reasons why I was eating to begin with. And what happens a lot of times is that when we're losing weight, if our shitty life is over here, but our weight is just now outweighing our shitty life. And when I say shitty life, I just mean like every day I get worked up about little things. I worry people judge me. I'm up in my head about a lot of things. I tend to be a perfectionist. I don't mean like, oh my God, my life's falling apart crap. I mean, just like shitty life is having a good life that you can't even appreciate. Having a good life and then feeling guilty for not loving it. That's a shitty life. All of that's shitty. All right. So we have our shit life, but then, like, slowly over time, our weight becomes the massive problem. Well, when our weight becomes this shitty and we start working on it, it makes us feel like our life's getting better. So our weight's coming down, and our weight's coming down. If you're listening to this on the replay, you should really watch this video because my hands are doing all the work. Now we've got our weight, and our weight has come down, and our shitty life is sitting here where we didn't work on it at all. This is why we start eating again. Because now we're like sitting here going, I lost all this weight. I was feeling really good because this was coming down. But now I'm like, oh God, I'm stuck with this. And then eventually this starts rising again. And so we have to start eating again. That's how that works. So it's really important for you that when you're losing weight, in any way that you choose to lose weight, that you don't neglect the root causes of why you got to where you were. A lot of you want to bypass that part. You don't want to look at it. I'm like, why? Why would you not want to fix things in your life that we can solve? Because 70% of what you're going to fix happens in your head. 30% might be having to fix things outside of you. But most of us are walking around with, we could have a 70% better life if we just worked on our perceptions, the rules we carry around for ourselves, the expectations we have of ourselves, releasing this like weird thing that we have inside of ourselves that says, everybody must be judging me. Everybody must think about me the way I think about me. When you work on that stuff, you might not like the other 30%, you might be willing to tolerate and you won't even need to eat over it. But sometimes we do need to fix some of that thing, some of that stuff. Like some of the external stuff I had to fix, like one major external thing that I needed to fix that really worked on me was I had to make a decision a while back whether or not I was going to be involved in my dad's life, in my family from Alabama's life. And I decided I didn't want to. I like my reasons. And so that was like more of an external fix. There was a lot of internal work to get me to the point to where I could say, I am really confident that I will never regret this decision. We've had our relationship. I didn't love it. And I'm not going to keep it just because we're blood relatives. I have chosen family and I have like given family. And there's parts of my given family I want. And then I have filled my life with chosen family. And just because you're given someone in your family doesn't mean that you have to keep them. All of us get to decide that. Now, a lot of people are like, but that is your father, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, that's your rule. Your rule is if somebody's blood related, you have to be in their lives. My rule is that if somebody's a piece of shit, I don't have to keep them in my life. I don't care if we share DNA. If I'm always going to like walk in and get hurt every time, I don't have to do that. I also don't have to hate on them. I don't have to hate on me for not wanting it. I don't have to do all that. That was part of external and internal work. All right. I don't know how we got here, but that's where we ended up today. So, for all of you, I hope this was helpful. One thing I want to tell y'all is that each month, I do for the maintenance people, I do like a video that says, here's how to use this month's like content. It is literally, sometimes I'm in my car outside the gym shooting the video. I just think about what are we doing this month and how can you use it for for your group. I decided to start this month. I did it like there is a video in your Facebook group. I went ahead and did one for y'all this month, and I'm going to continue to do that because I feel like of all the groups we have right now, the two that the monthly content sometimes needs a little tweaking for to make it fit for y'all is medical weight loss and its maintenance. All other things, 55 plus, all that stuff, it works across the board. It is these two situations where, just like I rarely would ever tell someone in the main membership, I need you to track calories and I need you to, I need you to plan, I need you to do timed eating and stuff. That's a very different thing. So that's why I want to kind of just customize it, but you'll want to check your Facebook group. I haven't figured out yet how to like throw it into replays and stuff without overwhelming the entire membership. When I solve that, it will go over there. But for right now, I'm just putting it in the Facebook group, and that gives y'all an opportunity to, if you want to ask questions about the content and how it relates to you can watch my video. And if you have any further questions, all you got to do is reply to the video, and then I can answer them. Okay. With that, I will see y'all next month. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.